And verse 16 onwards. Before that, I would like to hand over the call to Tiffany Mataji to give a small introduction about the Prabhuji. So, Mataji, you can please take over the call.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. His Grace Govardhan Giri Prabhuji joined ISKCON in 1994 in Krishna Katha Desh, the Middle East. He speaks English, Hindi, Malayalam, and Tamil, and has served devotees in Krishna Katha Desh who speak these languages through classes and training. He was chiefly instrumental in developing Malayalam, please forgive me if I mispronounce that, preaching in Krishna Katha Desh, where he served from 1994 until 2008. Today, the Malayalam speaking congregation there is very huge. Many of those devotees come back to Kerala and started preaching or new preaching endeavors there. He has also been a servant of BBT and has served in the team that published the Srimad Bhagavatam in Malayalam and has assisted in translation of Nectar of Devotion and is currently serving the team that is working on translating the Chaitanya Charitamrita. His principal service also includes serving as the chief editor of Bhagavad Darshanam, the Malayalam BTG, since its inception in 2010. He is also serving as a member of the Kerala Management Council, which assists the GBC regional secretaries. He still trains devotees in Krishna Katha Desh through electronic media, which includes weekly sessions of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter-wise overview, and Srimad Bhagavatam chapter-wise overview, and Malayalam and Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita overview in English. During the lockdown, he conducted an online Bhagavad Gita course for beginners, which was attended by over 1,000 newcomers. He continues to conduct follow-up classes for these newcomers online. He is currently stationed in Trivandrum and actively engages in various local preaching programs, as well as programs throughout the state of Kerala. Hare Krishna, Bhargavi Mataji, please take over.
Hare Krishna, Tiffany Mataji, thank you so much for the brief introduction. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept our humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for giving a valuable time and association today in this Bhakti Sangha conference call to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now you can please take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, everyone. Vancha Kalpataru Bhishta Kripasandhu Bheva Chapaditanam Bhavane Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Nama. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Skrityanaram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tatho Jaya Mudire Tanashta Prayeshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatyuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langhayate girim yat kripatam aham vande Sri Guru Dina Tarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshat Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, today I've been asked to read from the fifth canto. Chapter 3. And reading from shlokas 18, 19 and 20. And that is what I've been given to read from. So this shloka number 18 is like a prose. Tata agnidriye amsha కలయావతార్యస్యామి ఆత్మతుల్యం అనుపలంభమానః. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్: సిన్స్ ఐ కెనాట్ ఫైండ్ ఎనీవన్ ఈక్వల్ టు మీ, ఐ షల్ పర్సనలీ ఎక్స్పాండ్ మైసెల్ఫ్ ఇంటు అ ప్లీనరీ పోర్షన్ అండ్ దస్ అడ్వెంట్ మైసెల్ఫ్ ఇన్ ది వూంబ్ ఆఫ్ మేరుదేవి, ది వైఫ్ ఆఫ్ మహారాజా నాభి, ది సన్ ఆఫ్ ఆగ్నిద్ర. పర్పోర్ట్ బై శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ కి జాయ్. దిస్ ఈస్ ఎన్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ఆఫ్ ది ఓమ్నిపొటెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ది సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్హెడ్. ఆల్దో హీ ఈస్ వన్ వితౌట్ అ సెకండ్, హీ ఎక్స్పాండ్స్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ బై స్వాంశ, హిస్ పర్సనల్ ఎక్స్పాన్షన్, అండ్ సమ్టైమ్స్ బై విభిన్నాంశ ఆర్ హిస్ సెపరేటెడ్ ఎక్స్పాన్షన్. లార్డ్ విష్ణు హియరిన్ అగ్రీస్ టు సెండ్ హిస్ పర్సనల్ ఎక్స్పాన్షన్ యాజ్ ది సన్ ఆఫ్ మేరుదేవి, ద వైఫ్ ఆఫ్ మహారాజా నాభి, హూ ఈస్ ద సన్ ఆఫ్ అగ్నిద్ర. ద రిత్విజ, ద ప్రీస్ట్, న్యూ దట్ గాడ్ ఈస్ వన్, యెట్ దే ప్రేడ్ ఫర్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ టు బికమ్ ది సన్ ఆఫ్ మహారాజా నాభి, టు లెట్ ద వరల్డ్ నో దట్ ది అబ్సల్యూట్ ట్రూత్, ద సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్, ఈస్ వన్ వితౌట్ అ సెకండ్. When he incarnates, he expands himself in different potencies. Om Tat Sat Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So this is continuing from the reading where the Lord becomes very pleased by the penance and the tapasya done by Maharaja Nabhi and his wife Merudevi, and their prayers have been successful in the sense that they prayed, Maharaja Nabhi and Merudevi, their prayer was primarily to have someone like the Lord appear as their son. You know, someone like the Lord should appear as my son. This was the prayer. So prayers, as we know, are very, very potent. And we are taught by our acharyas that our prayers should always be in line with or following the of prayers made by great personalities. Because even to say a proper prayer to the Supreme Lord, it takes some training, some understanding, some intelligence, etc., etc. So here, these two great personalities, King Nabhi and Merudevi, their prayer is also very significant. That very intelligently they asked that someone like you should become our son. And in answer, the Lord here, he's saying that since I cannot find anyone equal to me, I shall personally expand myself. So here, the Lord himself is establishing that fundamental truth that there is no one equal to him. This is what is indicated by the Upanishadic usage of the word asamordhva. The Supreme Lord is referred to as asamordhva in the Upanishads. It is asama urdhva. That means nobody equal to or above. Asama. Sama means equal. Urdhva means above. That is, there is nobody equal to the Lord, nobody above the Lord. Asama urdhva. Asama urdhva. This is a usage you will find in the Upanishads. You know. So this asama urdhva principle, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, no one is equal to him, no one is greater than him. And this principle is what gets established throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam also. in terms of explaining the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we will find that not only in Sanatana Dharma, even in the Old Testament, the word Jehovah also means that one God. You know, that one Supreme God. And even in Islam, the same thing. You know, La ilaha illallah. That means there is only one God, there is no other God. So, the principle is applied equally when it comes to the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in saying that there is no one equal to Him. So, whenever the Lord has to do something to please His devotees, He has to come Himself. You know, always He has to come Himself, either as He Himself, fully as Swamsha, Swayam Prakasha, or as Vibhinnamsha. You know, all these tattvas are explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami in the Sanatana Shiksha portion of the 19th chapter of Madhya Leela in Chaitanya Charitamrita. How the Lord appears, you know, how He appears as Swayam Prakasha, Swamsha, Vipinnamsha, you know, Vaibhava Prakasha, Prabhava Prakasha, all these various types of expansions of this singular Supreme Personality, you know. And this type of prayer, that is where we were beginning with, that the prayer of Nabhi and Merudevi. So the importance of having the right prayer. It is very, very important that we are first trained properly by devotees in how to offer prayer. Otherwise, we will end up like that beggar. There is this story in Tamil, you know, that there was this beggar, and one day the Lord became very pleased with this beggar, and He appeared in front of him and asked him, "What do you want? You know, I am pleased with you. I am here to give you a benediction." So the beggar is asking, "Are you God?" So he says, "Yes. And you can give me anything you want, anything I want, anything I ask, you can give me." So the Lord says, "Yes, I can give you." And so very intelligently, the beggar will say, "See, currently my begging bowl is very broken, very old. Now that you are God and you are very pleased with me, can you please give me a begging bowl made out of gold?" So this is the normal intelligence level of the conditioned soul. You know, if we are given an opportunity to ask for what we want, this is probably how we will ask. You know, something, the beggar wanted something that, you know, visibly improved his situation, which is what? To have a golden begging bowl. But he was so unintelligent that he could not think, or he could not understand that the Lord can take away that whole situation of his being, him being a beggar. You know, living entity does not know the power of prayer. That what we want to request the Lord. You know. So that is why Krishna speaks about such people as Maya, Apahrata Jnana, Prapadyante, Ata. You know. So people sometimes, because of their material compulsions, because of intelligence being stolen away by Maya, they ask very, very insignificant things. But look at King Nabhi and his wife. They were very intelligent. So They know that if they ask that we want someone like you to be our son, then the Lord will become their son, because there is nobody else like the Lord. That is why whenever we have to give any example, you know, Krishna is like this or Krishna is like that, it becomes very, very difficult. Because in the material world, there's nothing that can compare to Krishna. In the material world, there's nothing that can compare itself to Krishna. Because Krishna says that anything that you see, adyad vibhuti mat sarvam. Whatever you see as, you know, very resplendent in this material world, it is mama tejo amsha sambhavam. It is simply, you know, just a minute particle of my teja. So, nothing in the material world can compare to Krishna. So, great devotees, their prayers would be in line with what Krishna can give. Of course, Krishna can give everything. So, we are taught by the acharyas that if at all we want to chant prayers, we should choose prayers spoken by great devotees like Kunti. Kunti's prayers, Gajendra's prayers, Prahlada's glorification, Lord Shiva's prayers, you know, Bhishma Dev glorifying Krishna at the end of his life. So, these are the things that we have to take from the Srimad Bhagavatam as our prayers. You know, and then Krishna becomes very pleased. And here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that the priests knew that God is one, yet they prayed for the Supreme Lord to become the son of Maharaja Nabi, to let the world know that the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is one without a second. So, Prabhupada used to say this, that everyone is looking for God and they don't know, and nobody is able to show them. But we are saying, here is God, and this is what he does. You know, Prabhupada also used to say that other people, they at the most, they say there is God or God is supreme. But here, we, from the Srimad Bhagavatam and from the Vedic literature, we are able to find out, understand and study the nature of that God, what God does, what and what he can do, what are his, you know, unlimited abilities. And that actually helps us to glorify the Lord more. There is so much of subject matter that we can utilize to glorify the Supreme Lord. And therefore, these personalities pray for the Lord to appear so that other people can take inspiration, that although the Lord is Aja, although the Lord is unborn, he chooses to appear as the son of so and so. And we see so many of such repeated happenings throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam and the other Puranas. We see how the Lord very mercifully chooses to act as the son of so and so. He very mercifully chooses these great devotees to be his father, to be his mother, to be his brother, to be his sister, to be his friends, to be his girlfriends. So to this extent, we are able to see practically through the eyes of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we are able to see the unlimited mercy of that Supreme Lord who has no equal, who has no one above him. But still, because of his Bhakta Vatsalya, the Lord chooses to be someone's son, to be somebody's younger brother, to be somebody's nephew, to be somebody's husband. So, this is actually seeing the Lord, the Supreme Lord, in all his glory, as we say. Otherwise, we only have a limited understanding that all glories be to Lord. What are those glories? So, every time the Lord appears or chooses to appear, we can understand that it is yet another manifestation of the mercy of the Lord. Every time the Lord engages in a leela wherein he becomes somebody's son, that is yet another manifestation of his causeless mercy. And it is not just that the Lord is showing causeless mercy to King Nabhi and Meru Devi alone. It inspires every student of the Srimad Bhagavatam that see how merciful my Lord is, that he chooses. So, the Lord's mercy is unlimited, just like everything about the Lord is unlimited, his mercy is also unlimited. But we must become intelligent enough to be the recipient of that mercy. It is, mercy is already there. Just we need to become a little bit, as we say, switched on, We need to become a little bit switched on and make sure that we are not asking for the golden begging bowl. It may give, the golden begging bowl may give some temporary titillation. Oh, now I've got the golden bowl, But at the end of the day, you're still a beggar. What's the big deal? So, prayer, very, very important. What prayer, how we pray, also very, very important. And prayer, when it is done with sincerity, it is always answered by the Lord. The Lord becomes very pleased by the austerity, the tapasya that the living entity does for the Lord's sake, for the Lord's pleasure. Lord, in his first conversation with Brahma, that the word tapasya came from me, that was my instruction to you. And by doing that, you have pleased me. And because of your austerities, having pleased me, now I have invited you to Vaikuntha so that you can see. So the austerity that we perform, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada says that the austerity that we perform in Kali Yuga is, in one way, simply trying to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. That itself is a great austerity for us. We don't have great capacity for austerity. So for us, chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra is our austerity. Observing the four regulative principles is our austerity. observing fasting on important days, that is our austerity. But any austerity that is undertaken for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna will ultimately please the Supreme Lord. And when the Lord is pleased, like how he was pleased with Brahma's austerity, with all the tapasya, then Brahma got darshan of Vaikuntha. So, when the Lord is pleased with our austerity, we shall also get the highest benediction that is there to be got. Continuing on to the 19th shloka of the chapter. That is again a prose, so I will directly read the translation. Shukdev Goswami continued, "After saying this, the Lord disappeared. The wife of King Nabhi, Queen Meru Devi, was sitting by the side of her husband, and consequently, she could hear everything the Supreme Lord had spoken." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to the Vedic injunctions, one should perform sacrifices in the company of one's own wife. Sapatni ko dharma macharet. Religious rituals should be performed with one's wife. Therefore, Maharaja Nabhi conducted his great sacrifice with his wife by his side. So this is another wonderful instruction that we get from Srila Prabhupada's purport. How important it is for grihasthashramis to work as a team. So in Sanatana Dharma, the wife is called Dharma Patni. You know, she is not simply called Patni. She is always referred to as Dharma Patni. That means the wife is always the right hand of the husband when it comes to the performance of dharma. And there is also injunction that any dana that a husband wants to perform, anything in charity he wants to give, any such kind of dharma that he wants to do, he should always take his wife's opinion as well. Together, only any kind of dharma a grihastha is supposed to do. So, here, Shukdev Goswami says that she also heard everything that the Supreme Lord had spoken. So, not that together they did all the yajna and then Supreme Lord came and spoke secretly only to King Nabhi and, you know, Meru Devi, she was just sitting, you know, blinking away to, not like that. Not at all like that. The Dharma Patni in Sanatana Dharma, she plays a very, very important role in ensuring that the Pati is doing his Dharma properly. She also has a role in that. And also making sure that he is comfortably situated to perform his dharma. And vice versa. The pati is also expected to ensure that the wife is able to perform her duties comfortably. And therefore, together, sapatni ko dharma macharit. Everything in any yajna that they do in grihasthashrama and whenever they are giving the dakshina to the brahmana, in everything you will find that unless the patni pours that one drop of water, it does not become complete. You cannot give anything to anybody without the Dharmapatni. That means the Dharmapatni has Dharma. The wife has a very, very important role to play. And you will find that the greatest example of how a Dharmapatni behaves in Vamanadev's Leela. When Vamanadev is asking Bali for 3 steps of land, and Shukracharya tells Bali that don't give. This is not whom you think it is. He will take everything away from you. You are now the king of the 3 worlds. In seconds, you are going to become a slave. But we will see that Bali, in spite of Shukracharya's advice, decides to complete the dana process. And in full agreement with Bali, his wife will pour that drop of water to complete that dharma. You know? So, best example of a Dharmapatni. Because when Bali is the king of the emperor of the 3 worlds, she is the empress of the 3 worlds. So just as much as Bali is aware of the fact that he will lose everything and still he doesn't mind, look at her. She is equally as good as Bali. She doesn't mind either. If she doesn't pour that one drop of water, this thing will not happen. She knows it as much as anybody else. That doesn't stop her at all. You know, perfect example of what a Dharmapatni is. Because she knew that what her husband is about to perform is much more glorious than holding on to the rule of the 3 worlds. You see? So we see that Meru Devi here, she is as elevated as King Nabhi himself. She is spiritually that much matured. That is how the Lord chooses. You know, it is not that what should we say? It is only because of the pious credits of King Nabhi that this whole benediction they are getting. No. It is because together, as husband and wife, because they are doing it together, it pleases the Lord. So in Grihasthashrama, generally, it is always very important for us to remember that there should be encouragement mutually. And when anything is performed as a team, for the Grihastha especially, I mean, it is very pleasing to the Lord. And there is no thought of, you know, I am better or you are better. In Kali Yuga especially, everyone is as fallen as the other. So in Grihasthashrama especially, we should keep this in mind. That whenever dharma macharet, whenever some dharma charana is there, Patni should always have a role in that. She should always be given a role. And it is not that the pati, the husband, is doing her a favor by giving her a role in that. Not at all. It is enjoined in the shastras that she has a role. It is not that we are doing some great benediction. We are giving some great benediction to the wife by letting her becoming a part of the yajna process. No. It is there. It is enjoined in the shastra. So, That is how it was done. And very specifically, Prabhupada says that because this is also very important for a grihastha to note that everything that is done with the cooperation of the wife. So when we say this, it is also very important to know that the wife should not, or the husband should not, create some impediment in the dharma that the other is going to perform. You know, because that can be very disastrous, that the husband wants to do a nice dharmic activity, but the wife stops. Or the wife wants to do some dharmic activity and the husband stops. That actually is a failure of grihasthashrama. So we should never allow grihasthashrama to fail. And we all understand in Kali Yuga, as it is, the situation is very vitiated. It is very difficult. You know? We all speak about Trinath api sunichena tarvariva sahishnuna. You know, we are supposed to be humbler than the blade of grass. We are supposed to be more tolerant than the tree. And we probably chant this every day, the Sikshashtakam prayers in the morning, just to remember, you know. But very easy to chant, very easy to remember, very easy to chant it every day also, but very, very challenging to maintain on a day in, day out basis in our lives. So, and in those challenging times, we should take shelter of these instructions of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The instructions of Srila Prabhupada through his purports of the Srimad Bhagavatam to remind us time and again that what our role is as a grihastha. You know, because generally the impression is that grihasthas are a cursed lot. You know, there is nothing that can be done. But today morning, incidentally, I was reading a letter written by Srila Prabhupada to Rupanuga Prabhu, I think. So he writes that, "I am very happy that you are, you know, doing things very nicely with your wife." And then he says that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was also a grihastha. And he was so elevated that, I'm just paraphrasing, these are not exact words. Prabhupada writes in that letter that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, although he was a grihastha, he was so much better that he was better than 10 sannyasis like me. Prabhupada compares himself. He says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is much more than 10 sannyasis like Prabhupada. You know. So, being situated properly in Krishna consciousness is actually irrespective of Varna and Ashrama. Being situated properly in Krishna consciousness is actually irrespective of Varna and Ashrama. At the end of the day, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Ramanandara, you know, Eitto Bahya Age Kayar. These are all external things. You know. But while we are in that, you know, the box of being a grihastha, a husband living with a wife, we must understand what works and what does not work. And make sure that we always try and do what works and try and avoid what doesn't work. Because at the end of the day, it is a teamwork. It is a teamwork. And if it is done together, like Lord said here to Nabhi Maharaj and Meru Devi, then that will please the Lord. It is also like one Maharaj said, grihasthashrama is also one place where you actually learn how to be more tolerant than a tree. You know. So we can learn in whatever ashrama one is situated, in whatever situation one is situated in life, one can learn how to become more Krishna conscious out of each and every one of those situations faced. Out of every situation that we face in life, we can take a lesson how to become more Krishna conscious. It's only that we need to look at things in that right perspective. And what is a lesson and what is not, what is to be done, what is not to be done. So for grihasthas, very, very important to have a mutually cooperative, mutually
no sound.
Yeah, I think we have a poor connection. I think Prabhuji's internet is not. Yes, Martin. Let me call it.
King Nabhi and King Meru Devi were equally blessed by the Supreme Lord. Yes, because they were the ideal husband and wife. So, continuing on to the 20th sloka of the chapter, Sukadeva Goswami is telling, O Vishnu Datta, Parikshit Maharaj, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was pleased by the great sages at that sacrifice. Consequently, the Lord decided to personally exhibit the method of executing religious principles as observed by the brahmacharis, sannyasis, vanaprasthas, grihasthas engaged in rituals, and also satisfy Maharaja Nabhi's desire. Consequently, he appeared as son of Meru in his spiritual form, which is above the modes of material nature. When the Supreme Lord appears or descends as an incarnation within this material world, he does not have a body made of the three modes of material nature, Sattvaguna, Rajoguna, and Tamoguna. Mayavadi philosophers say that the impersonal God appears in this material world by accepting a body in the Sattvaguna. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti states that the word Shukla means consisting of Shuddha Sattva. Lord Vishnu descends in a Shuddha Sattva form. Shuddha Sattva refers to Sattva Guna, which is never contaminated. In this material world, even the mode of goodness, Sattva Guna, is contaminated by tinges of Rajoguna and Tamoguna. When Sattva Guna is never contaminated by Rajoguna and Tamoguna, it is called Shuddha Sattva. Sattvam Shuddham Vasudeva Shabdi. That is the platform of Vasudeva, whereby the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, can be experienced. In Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanit bhavati bharata, bhikhanam adharmasya tatatmanam shujamyam. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, this kind of bharata and a predominant rise of irreligion, at times I descend back. Unlike ordinary living entities, the Supreme Lord is not forced by modes of material nature to appear. He appears dharma shayitu kama to show how to execute the function of human beings. Dharma is human beings and never used in connection with beings inferior to human beings, such as animals. Unfortunately, without being guided by the Supreme Lord, human beings sometimes manufacture a process of dharma by concoction. And dharma cannot be made by man. Dharma to Saksha Bhagavat Pranitam. Dharma is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as it is given by the state government. Man-made dharma has no meaning. Srimad Bhagavatam refers to man-made dharma as Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion. the Supreme Lord sends an avatara, incarnation, to teach human society the proper way to execute religious principles. Such religious principles are bhakti marga. As the Supreme Lord himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja. The son of Maharaja Nabi, Rishabhdev, appeared on this earth to preach the principles of religion. This will be explained in the fifth chapter of this fifth canto. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fifth canto, third chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Rishabhdeva's Appearance in the Womb of Meru Devi, the Wife of King Nabhi. Hare Krishna. So, finally, the Lord decides to personally exhibit the method of executing religious principles and also satisfy Maharaja Nabhi's desire. So, whenever the Lord appears, he has many things to do. And in one appearance, he will take care of all those things. This is how the Lord always does things. We will see, like here, Sukadeva Goswami says that he wanted to exhibit the method of executing religious principles and also satisfy Maharaja Nabhi's desires. So, on one side, he wants to make Nabhi Maharaj happy that I have given you the benediction. And the Lord doesn't stop at that. Then he talks about the other facet of his avatara, which is the, like we say, the uddeshya. Like we say, what is the aim of that avatar? You know? And as I said, the Lord's avatars are always with multifarious aims. It is not just that he will appear only for one thing. Yes, there are some appearances of the Lord, which we know, the Lord will just come, do one thing and go. But most of the avatars, the Lord will do multitude of things. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that whenever we see the Lord appearing in the material world, we should never consider it to be a regular material happening. Whenever the Lord appears, he always appears only in his transcendental form, which is beyond the three modes of material nature. That is why he is called Vishuddha Sattva. That Sattva, which is not contaminated by anything material at all. So, remember that the Lord's appearance is never material, it's always transcendental. Why this type of remembrance is very important is because we should know, when an avatara of the Lord happens and many things happen during that avatara's time, you know, sometimes we may wonder, how could the Lord do this? Or how could the Lord, why did the Lord not do this? Why did the Lord do this? So immediately we must understand that is our materially conditioned intelligence at work, trying to pull the Lord down to a material platform. So, when we always remain in that consciousness that everything that happens, everything that the Lord does in his avatar, he always maintains his transcendental nature. If we always remember this, if we always maintain this understanding, it becomes easier for us to understand why the Lord does what he does. You know? So, the Lord descending is always in his transcendental nature. And the primary lakshya, the primary aim of all avatars are to please the devotee only. You know, and that pleasing the devotee can manifest in very, very different ways. You know, so sometimes what looks to us like something not so, that would be enjoyable for some devotee. Like when Krishna appeared as himself, you know, Swayam Bhagavan. So we find that the Kurukshetra war is like the most ghastly part of the Lord's, all his leelas, you know. But looking at the Lord in the battlefield, Bhishma Deva was feeling transcendental bliss. You see. So, we understand that everything that the Lord does in his avatara is for the pleasure of the devotee. But the manifestation of that would differ from devotee to devotee. How I see it, how a great devotee sees it, is always different. But rest assured that the Lord's aim is to please the devotee, and whenever, in whatever form God appears and whatever he appears to do, as we go on reading Rishabha's Charitra, we would again may get this doubt as to why the Lord, you know, after all, he is an incarnation, Rishabhadev, and why did he do this or why did he not do this? You know, so that time we should remember that it's always Shuddha Sattva, and everything that he does is always transcendental, and the Lord never loses his transcendental nature. You know, that is why he is called Achyuta. He doesn't have that tendency for falling down, whereas we all have that tendency to always fall, and we are currently fallen. The Lord does not. And the Lord enunciates dharma, teaches how to practice dharma, and establishes dharma. So Srimad Bhagavatam says, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. It actually ultimately means that what the Lord says is dharma, is dharma. Why? Because he is Swarat. He is supremely, ultimately independent. And he knows better than anybody else as to what is dharma. Whatever little understanding that the highest pandit, the greatest of pandit has about dharma is from where? The source of his understanding of dharma, his dharmic knowledge, is from the Lord only. So we must always remember that dharma means as laid down by the Lord. Dharma is not something that is convenient for me, that is dharma. Something that is not very convenient for me, that dharma I need not do. None of these considerations are correct. That is why Prabhupada says that this man-made dharma, being called Kaitava dharma in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is most appropriate. Because every day a new god is manufacturing a new dharma in Kali especially. So it is very, very challenging. It is very, very confusing for the normal human being to understand whether I should do this, whether I should do that. But for the students of Srimad Bhagavatam, for the followers of Srimad Bhagavatam, there need not be any confusion whatsoever. To that extent, every student of the Srimad Bhagavatam studying it under the bona fide parampara system, he is safe because he can get the proper understanding of what is dharma and what is not dharma. There is no need to doubt when the Lord enunciates something as dharma. Because we must understand that the Lord in his unlimited intelligence has established these things. Our problem or the requirement for clarification and seeming contradictions, that's all coming out of our imperfect understanding or incomplete understanding. You know, when our understanding is not complete, we would always have doubt. And it is not wrong to have doubt. But it will be wrong to clarify our doubts by using our own mind and intelligence. It is always better whenever we have a doubt on these kind of subject matters, we always refer back to somebody, you know, who is more experienced, more intelligent in terms of spiritual knowledge. So we can always approach and we can get the doubt clarified so that we can practice this bhakti yoga very nicely. Because at the end of the day, our aim is to become a better practitioner of bhakti yoga and eventually please Lord Krishna and go back home, back to Godhead. So our dharma is meant for that. Our giving up of all other dharmas is also meant for that. Sarvadharman parityajya. That means give up all those other dharmas that you were engaged in. Because those dharmas at that point in time was necessary for you or was good for you. But then ultimately, the only dharma is to please the Supreme Lord. And that is the ultimate dharma. So, whenever we see an example of somebody who has performed that ultimate dharma, we will also see that they have got the ultimate benefit. But if there is a doubt, and because of that doubt, we hesitate, then the loss is only ours. You know, that famous happening in the Mahabharata, when Ashwatthama had to be killed, Drona would not believe that Ashwatthama can be killed, because Ashwatthama cannot be killed. Drona knows it. So then Krishna is giving that duty to Yudhishthira. You know, Krishna gave that duty to Yudhishthira. He said that Drona will believe only you because you are Dharmaraj. Drona would believe you because you won't speak a lie. So you go and tell him that Ashwatthama, the elephant, you know, you softly spell the elephant and you just tell Ashwatthama, elephant you say in your mind and say is dead. So Yudhishthir Maharaj, for a moment he hesitated, you know. For a moment, Yudhishthir Maharaj hesitated because he thought that, you know, I am a follower of dharma. And now this Krishna is asking me to break my dharma. For one moment, he thought like that. But then he reconciled himself with the fact that if I have to win this war and make right all the done, then I have to do this. So that is after that initial meditation, Dronacharya, that and what that is you know, fleeting visit of Narakaloka, Yudhishthira Maharaj. Because many people have this understanding or misunderstanding that because Yudhishthira Maharaj told one lie in his life, he had to go and, you know, see Narakaloka on his way back. But it's not that. The actual fact is that it was because he hesitated in executing that ultimate dharma. Dharma execute the instructions given by Krishna. That is ultimate dharma. So, we must always remember that ultimate dharma, what the Lord gives. And we must know that the Lord always incarnates in order to re-establish dharma. And that dharma, which is not Kaitava, but that dharma, which is Parama dharma. You know? And that dharma, most dharma is that activity which pleases the Supreme Lord. That is instructed by the Supreme Lord. So, by simply engaging ourselves by body, mind and words, we can actually please the Supreme Lord. We can actually be the highest or the best performers of dharma as grihasthas, as brahmacharis, as vanaprasthis, as sannyasis. Whatever the ashrama consideration may be, we can always act in this way to please Krishna. Simply by following the instructions. And with the full understanding that the instructions are there for our benefit. It is not for Krishna's benefit. Krishna is not benefiting by instructing us in any way. Krishna is already, he is complete, he is totally happy. You know, he has got Tripad Vibhuti, is already there with him. And all of them are already enjoying transcendental bliss. And he is also fully engaged in enjoying transcendental pastimes with his pure devotees. So, this entire dharma process that Krishna lays down as per time, place and circumstance is for the benefit of the jiva only. And we have to understand that this is my ultimate benefit. This is for my ultimate benefit. And therefore, I should become intelligent enough to choose that which is ultimately beneficial to me. To that extent, we must be able to exercise our intelligence. You know, as we know that because in Kali Yuga, we are all mandaha sumandamatayoho. Already we are very slow in our intelligence. We are very poor when it comes to our intelligence. But still, we need to have just that much intelligence to choose. Yes, this is for my ultimate benefit. So I shall execute this. You know. So this is, as far as we are concerned, this is our penance. This is our austerity. This is our dharma. And that dharma is very easily performed in Kali Yuga through the process of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who gave us this easiest method, the most direct method. And as we are coming closer to Gaura Purnima, we can all once again be thankful in our hearts that we are getting this wonderful opportunity to practice Krishna consciousness, share Krishna consciousness, practice bhakti, share bhakti, study the Srimad Bhagavatam under the able guidance of the purports given by Srila Prabhupada, and continue in our spiritual endeavors for the ultimate pleasure of Krishna and Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Granth Raj ki jai.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the very, very beautiful class today. And it was very nice hearing to the dharma that we have to follow. What is Kaitava Dharma? What is our real dharma? And also importance about the grahastha life, how the grahastha life is really successful. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the so a very important point in Krishna consciousness. And if there are any questions or comments, they can ask now.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you for a very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Wonderful instructions and a lot of practical learning for us, explaining what the Lord really is, starting from Asamodva, and how we should see everything in this material world. And also the position of the wife in Grihastha Ashrama. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
I see Shobha Radhe raised the hand. She can ask the question now.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam. Thank you so much for the nice lecture. Very nice class, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, actually, my question is... usually we were discussing about praying and desires. So my question is if, for example, we are not clear, like what's gonna be in future, for example. So shall we pray to the Lord, keeping the bhakti in the center that we need this, or shall we just surrender him and let him do whatever he wants to do with us, using us as an instrument? Can you hear me, Prabhuji?
Mataji, I think we lost Prabhuji again.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Mataji. I'll wait.
Shamagauri Mataji, please call him. Mataji.
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah, I'm calling Mataji. Yeah, Mataji, he's trying to connect. He's trying to connect. He's coming back. They have some internet issues today, but he's connecting back.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Okay, thank you, Vina Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Padma Sukhi Mataji. We are not done with the class, Mataji, yet.
Oh, okay, Mataji.
Can you wait for 5 minutes?
No, no, Mataji, I will wait. Dina Krishna was telling Amma they are calling you, so I came running.
Okay. No.
In the meantime, Padma Sakhi Gopi, can you please start?
Whatever Mataji says. So the class is not done right, Mataji. Prabhuji, where is Prabhuji?
I think Prabhuji is back. He will connect again, but I don't know. No,
Prabhuji is back.
He is there, Mataji. He is there. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
I don't know. Today, some yakshas are not in favor of me talking, so... Any questions? I would be happy.
Yes, Prabhuji. Shobha Mataji, Shobha Radhe Mataji, you can go ahead.
Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji. So, Prabhuji, my question is, we were discussing about prayers and desires for we should pray to the Supreme Lord. Prabhuji, my question is, if we pray to the Supreme Lord, keeping our spiritual life in the center, for example, for any materialistic thing, for example, we are not clear about our future job or our future plannings or anything. So shall we keep Krishna and our spirituality in the center? And we pray that, oh Lord, if I get this job, please give me this job and I will serve you and the devotees and Vaishnavas. Or Prabhuji, we should totally surrender to the Lord. We should not pray at all. I need this, I need that. So I will get this, so I will serve you. Or we should totally surrender. Actually, Prabhu, what I have heard from the lectures that we should totally surrender to the Lord and we should pray so that we can grow in bhakti. But some devotees, they have their point of view that we should, we can pray to the Lord, we can ask for things, but we have to use them in spirituality. So I was a little bit confused here, Prabhuji. I hope you will help me out in this. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for that question. That is a very interesting question. That's a question that many people have. And the safest answer everybody would give is that, completely depend on Krishna and, whatever happens, happens for the best. Krishna knows what is best for us. That is actually the company policy, that surrender to Krishna, depend on Krishna completely, and Krishna knows what is good for us. Now, that is the matured understanding. Once we develop all those things, that comes very naturally, to be able to surrender to Krishna. In the very initial stages, or in the what we call as the neophyte stage, which in my opinion we all are, the fact that you need a certain comfort level so that you can perform your devotional service nicely, some comfort zone is there so that you can, without getting too much bothered about what is going to happen tomorrow, I am able to perform my devotional service, to that, what actually happens is that there are ample number of examples in our Puranas itself. If you are approaching Krishna with even a material desire, Krishna knows how to purify it. He may give, he may not give. That is up to Krishna. But in the process, he will purify us and bring us to a level of maturity where we would very factually and with full understanding, we will say, yes, Krishna, I know that this is what it is. So I am okay with it. But initially, there is always this difficulty, that I have this overbearing thought in my mind that, And that is actually disturbing me from whatever little devotional service that I'm doing. You know? Because when something that big, or what I see as something very big, you know, which is like my material situation, my job, tomorrow, what will I do for a living? You know, when that becomes like the biggest thing in front of me, it is very easy to say that, you know, forget about it and then, you know, just depend on Krishna. Of course, we have to depend on Krishna. But then the other thing is like sitting like an elephant in the room, and you cannot ignore for, you know, over a period of time. And then there is also so many compulsions that come from all quarters, you know. Maybe the husband and wife are okay with the situation, but then the husband's parents, the wife's parents, the sisters, the brothers, we have this kind of, you know, this whole rigmarole of a, you know, bandwagon that comes along with us, whether we like it or not. And all those quarters will pile up the pressure, and they will say that because you started doing this, you know, you started chanting this Hare Krishna, so your husband lost his job, you know, you have this difficulty, and they will inject so much negativity into, you know, people who are trying to do this. So it becomes a challenge to balance all these things. So what we should do is that one thing is, whatever we are doing, we should stick on to that with full determination, you know. And along with that, we can pray to Krishna that if it so pleases you, Krishna, please repair my material situation to the extent that I am able to perform my devotional service without becoming too disturbed. We are not like Sanatan Goswami, who sits under one tree today and another tree tomorrow, and, you know, offer two chapatis without even salt to Madan Mohan. We are not on that level. So we need not try to imitate Sanatan Goswami all of a sudden, you know. But we know that that is where we are supposed to get. But then in our present situation, we should always fully depending on Krishna, at the same time praying to Krishna that please keep me, you know, keep my situation in such a way that I'll be able to continue my devotional service. So then Krishna chooses whether to give me a better material situation or whether to give me a worse material situation. That Krishna is the fully independent Lord. So he can decide, and we can depend on that. So either way, it will remove that tension and the stress that we are having. You know? So that's what I would suggest, Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It was totally up to the like so satisfying answer. Thank you, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
For the very beautiful question and answer session. So yeah, it's very clearly you said that we should actually mostly depend on Krishna, but when things are little repaired, so we can beg for his mercy to get things repaired so that we can continue the Krishna consciousness very nicely. So in this regard, I have one question, Prabhuji. So we have, it is clear in this case, like when we are praying for something, but when in case of when we are into some role, like as a mother, as a sister, as a wife, so like that, so we have some dharma. So in that, if such dharma and devotional service is coming in between, so which to prefer and how much to bend? Can you please suggest?
Mataji, that's also a very interesting question. That's also a very practical situation that all devotees face, which is, how much should I bend? We must always remember that our Krishna consciousness is the most precious thing in our life. If we are able to appreciate how precious this gift of Krishna consciousness that we have received, then keeping that in mind, we can make minor adjustments. You know, one thing is that internally always remain very, very fixed in our Krishna consciousness. For some externality, sometimes we may have to, you know, as a sister, as a brother, some things may have to be done, you know. And that does not mean that we antagonize the entire system and then show that I am Krishna conscious, so I will do all these things. So at that time, what we should remember is that we as devotees we are expected to show mercy to everyone. So sometimes we have to show some mercy on our own family members. So we have to accommodate them, but always keeping in mind that, you know, I am not going to compromise on my Krishna consciousness. But then I will accommodate them in whatever way possible, because after all, they are my family. And another thing is that only by showing a good example that we will be even able to engage our extended family members and other people in Krishna consciousness, because it's always toughest, you know, to engage our more near and dear ones than friends and acquaintances and new people, etc., etc. Because everybody has a history before, pre-Krishna conscious history, and then there is Krishna consciousness. So the closer ones are more familiar with the pre-Krishna conscious history, so they would always try to judge by that. So that is actually very challenging. So what we should do is that, yes, they are family. They also should be recipient of Prabhupada's mercy. So by engaging them favorably, by, you know, always being positive with them, we can maintain our own Krishna consciousness. At the same time, in whatever little way possible, if they can be engaged and some things, some bendings may be required to keep them also happy. But at the end of the day, the subtle message that should go through is that I am not going to compromise my Krishna consciousness for whatever reason it may be. As long as that messaging is going out in a subtle manner, then that is quite okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for that beautiful answer. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I request if any devotees have any comments or questions, they can ask now. Okay, if there are no questions or comments, we can end the call here. We will thank Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyascha Dhanam Bhavanyo Vaishnavityo Namo Namaha. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your valuable time and association today. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Thank you, and my apologies for getting disconnected.
Yes.
So, thank you.
That's okay, Prabhuji.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Dhanvat, Radhe Radhe.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much.